Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University. Offering 1 to 2 year master's degree programs in business administration, healthcare leadership, and servant leadership. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
This is Central Time. It's Thanksgiving week, a time when a lot of people gather with family members they don't see as often during the year, which for some people means it's time for some difficult conversations.
Our next guest calls these hard conversations coming out of the closet, and she says it's vital for everyone to come out of the closet about whatever it is they've got hidden. Our guest now is Ash Beckham. She's an LGBTQ activist, and she gave a TEDx talk in Boulder called Coming Out of Your Closet. Ash, welcome to the show.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I want to start with your story about how this whole TED Talk you gave that went viral, how it was sparked. You have a story. What happened?
I had done a couple other talks in Boulder, and this one kind of came from a time when I was with, I was working at a restaurant, and there was a little 4-year-old girl that came in, and I had gotten the question a couple times, are you a boy or are you a girl? Because I, you know, I've had short hair and, you know, dress kind of androgynously. And I was, you know, kind of ready to go at it with this little kid, because I was kind of sick and tired of getting that question. And so once we, you know, but then she asked, you know, are you a boy or a girl? And I was kind of ready to go off on her to some extent, kind of some pent-up anger. But you look down, there's a 4-year-old looking back at you. So that's not exactly the best response. So we just had a little conversation about, you know, I like to wear clothes that are comfortable, and I know you can relate to that too, and sometimes you like to wear your pajamas, and her response was pretty simple and easy, and oh, okay, you're a girl, can I get a pancake? I mean, it was pretty easy and clear, and she you know, it wasn't, not everything is a, you know, a challenge to your identity. It was just a little kid with a question. So that kind of changed my perspective on relating to other people and kind of having those hard conversations, because she was just really honest and real, and that made it pretty simple to have that conversation. So I learned a lot from a little 4-year-old kid in a pink dress I wasn't really expecting to.
So you've gone on to say that, you know, really everybody has a closet that they need to come out of, and it might be that you're gay, or it might be something else, something true about yourself that people don't know, and that holding on to these things can actually be really bad for us. You liken it to holding a grenade. Why?
Well, I think that there's, you know, something about not being true to yourself that is stifling and, you know, almost suffocating. And those things are going to go off in a variety of ways, whether it's that pent-up stress that stays inside that causes health issues, or, you know, just not being allowed to be yourself, or the stress that comes from hiding. I mean, think and keeping things from people. I think that's hard. It's like, you know, if you... It's almost like knowing that there's somebody's throwing a surprise party. You know how stressed out you get around, like, not wanting to ruin that, and then imagine that about something so intimate. And I, you know, thought when I wrote the speech and when I delivered it, I thought I was really broadening my spectrum of what that would be. And it's been incredible, the response that I've gotten from so many folks that have written me that have really just blown the top off any limitations of what a closet can be, from, you know, mental illness to PTSD to, you know, it's not always stuff that's bad, but it's stuff that, you know, you're afraid that society's going to have an opinion of, or the folks closest to you don't know about. And there's this, you know, perpetual circle about keeping that lie, that then not only are you telling someone something that you're afraid they're not going to approve of or like, or is going to startle them, but then also you kind of have to tell them you've been lying to them for X amount of years too. And so, you know, that's a really hard thing to say as well. So it damages relationships and friendships, and kind of that factor of trust. So that was, you know, that's the grenade piece, that sometimes you just have to say it, and whatever happens, happens. And there's a freeness that comes from you no longer holding that.
Well, the thing about closets, at least that we think, is that they're safe. You know, it seems like here you are,
right,
in your dark little space, and nobody can hurt you as long as you don't come out and say the big scary thing. Why is it better to come out and have that difficult conversation?
Well, you know, I think everybody has their time, and there's, you know, if the closet feels safer, you know, whether it is or not, I think is kind of up to interpretation, but it feels safer than having that hard conversation. But I truly think that you know, kind of by definition, if you're living in this enclosed space and you're not opening that door, you have no idea about the world around you. You're not living in that in a space of being able to absorb everything, and you're kind of trapped. You're, you know, it becomes more of a prison than just a closet, and it's all you know, and it's kind of how you go through life. But there's so many things that you're missing by staying in there, and people that you're not letting in, and experiences that you can't have when you stay in there. So it's safe, but almost, you know, at a certain point, what kind of existence is that?
What is step one to having one of these difficult conversations? Are there rules of thumb?
You know, I think it's hard. I mean, I came up with kind of some principles that I use. Obviously, the first part is coming to terms with it yourself. There's no, you know, you can go and try to have those conversations with a lot of people, but until you've kind of done your work and your ownership of whatever that might be, I think it's really hard to go out and talk to somebody else. But once you claim that, whether it's an experience that happened to you or a diagnosis or whatever that might be, like, once you acknowledge that exists, I think that would be the first step. And then, you know, the things that I said in the talk, you know, that are, by no means the only way to do it. But my experience is, you know, be authentic. Like, you just have to be yourself and not try to hide what you're doing anymore. So just be honest with, you know, this is who I am. And then be direct. I think there's a lot of times that we, you know, try to tiptoe around something to soften the blow of the person that we're giving it to. And that's just, if you're going to say it, like, just rip the Band-Aid off and say it. And then the last part, I think, is be unapologetic. Whatever closet you're coming out of, you know, whether it's, you know, you've been diagnosed with a disease, or you've cheated on somebody, or you want a divorce, or you're telling somebody you love them for the first time, or any of these things, you just can't apologize for what you're doing. And, you know, in some of those situations, if you've lied to people or people have gotten hurt, like, you can apologize for what you've done, but, you know, you don't have to apologize for who you are. Like, that is your truth, and that's the part that matters. So those were kind of the three guidelines of self-awareness, I think, that you take into it, that I think, for me personally, have been helpful in having those conversations.
I suppose sometimes it doesn't always end the way you wanted to. People might be angry with you. People might cry or yell or leave. But ultimately,
sure.
is it always better to get this out there?
I mean, I think, again, like, that's an individual choice, and there's certainly a risk reward ratio in that, and that, you know, your perceived risk might be significantly greater than a reward that you can't necessarily quantify until you kind of know how it goes. I would say eventually it is, just because of your own self-preservation. You know, there are a lot of people that, in whatever scenario they're in, and most definitely LGBTQ situations, where genuinely their safety is at risk and they still live under their parents' house or any of those things. And I don't think, you know, there's an absolute rule. You must come out of the closet. I would never push open that door for anyone. Like, that is absolutely their call. So I don't think it's an absolute rule that it's always better. I think, you know, it's an easier and healthier way to live your life. But again, that's kind of everybody's decision and how you want to do it and how many people you want to do it with. You know, do you just want to come out to one family member, just so, you know, do you want to slowly open that door, or do you want to just, you know, bust it down and come out with fireworks? I think that's kind of up to the individual and how they want to do it. I mean, my experience has always been that in the long run, it's been better. And if there's any of those things, any of those closets that you're coming out of, that there are the people in your life that love you, more likely than not. I mean, they love you no matter what. And that's what they remember. And sometimes it takes people time, and those reactions are real. I mean, I would take somebody screaming back at me rather than, oh, you're gay, and then, like, crickets.
We're talking right now to Ash Beckham. She's an LGBTQ activist. She gave a TEDx talk in Boulder called Coming Out of Your Closet.
We want to hear from you. How do you handle difficult conversations? What's the hardest thing, the most difficult thing you've ever said to another person? How did you work up to revealing that about yourself? Are you planning to come out of some kind of closet? And as our guest defines it, it could be the traditional usage, being gay, or it could be a disease, or you've lost your job, or she mentioned PTSD, mental illness. Do you need advice about how to start one of these conversations? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@wpr.org.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking now with Ash Beckham. She's an LGBTQ activist. She gave a TEDx talk in Boulder called Coming Out of Your Closet. She says there's something everybody probably needs to get off their chest at some time or other in their lives, and that sometimes the holidays can force these conversations upon us, but maybe that's a good thing. We can learn how to come out of the closet.
Do you have a story about this? Was there something you had to reveal to someone close to you that maybe took you years to get out, and how did it work when you did it? What did you do? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, 800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
And Ash, I want to ask you, you know, you mentioned the way that this is sort of blowing up. People have gotten in touch with you, and it sounds like this talk has changed lives. Have you heard stories about how people's lives have been changed once they decide to do this, have these tough conversations?
I mean, it's been the outpouring of support has been incredible, and I think the greatest thing about it for me is this incredible sense of community that's felt. Because I feel like when you feel that when you're in a closet, you feel so incredibly alone, and you feel like nobody's ever gone through it exactly the way you have. Nobody, it's never been as hard for anybody as it is for you. Like, it's really isolating, and so your only metrics are your perspective. And so this outpouring of support that I've received and that people have shared via social media and telling their stories, you know, to me or on my Facebook page or whatever, has been incredible, because nobody's written, there's not been one thing that I've received that I haven't gotten more than one of. You know, so starting to share those stories and you know, with their permission, posting that stuff on my page and just sharing it, there's this sense of like, yeah, it's tough for all of us, and we're in this together. And that was kind of the point of the talk, was we're so much more alike than we are different, all of us. You know, sometimes, especially now in culture, it feels like our differences are so highlighted, and, you know, we define ourselves by one of these things, or often a closet that we've come out of. And to be able to be in a spot where we can have these conversations and be like, okay, I have no idea what it's like to have PTSD, but I had to come out as gay, and probably not the same thing, but I know what that feeling feels like. And when we can relate to what it feels like to be somebody else, that empathy is something that is incredible to feel, especially on this huge communal basis. But I feel like it's been felt, you know, and the talk has been maybe a nudge for some people, but it exists. That commonality exists. We just need to find it in each other.
Let's go to our first caller now, Takuma in Preston, Minnesota. And by the way, you can join Takuma and call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Takuma, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what is your story?
Well, when I was a kid and realized that I was gay, my coming out, that was before we even had phrases like coming out, but I felt I had to tell my mom one morning because I knew I had been photographed in a demonstration the night before and that it was going to be in the paper. And my lineage is old world, Eastern European, and I expected this big martyr thing from my mother. What did I do wrong? Oh, my God, and the whole story. And so I really prepared myself for this, and we were sitting in the morning having coffee, and I asked her what she thought about gay people, and she said, well, she didn't know much about that. And when I said, well, what would you say if I told you I was? And I clinched. My whole body just clammed up because I was just waiting to hear this. My God, my God. And she just calmly sipped her coffee and looked at me, and she says, I know. She said, mm-hmm. And you're my son, and I love you. And I just freaked out because I was so prepared for her to freak out. And it was like, when were you anxious and found out it was for naught? You know, I mean, I was just so freaked out. And my family's all gone. And I have a nun who, she was a nun when I was a little kid. She was a grown woman. And we've stayed in touch, and she's become my extended family. And she's left the convent, and she's got grandkids and all this. She's like papyrus paper now. And I feel I need to tell her I'm gay before she dies. We talk a lot, and occasionally she says, well, you know, you're still single. But I think I need to explain. For some reason in me, I think I need to be honest with her. And so I'm going to have to go back to Chicago to to do that at some point here soon.
Oh, Shakuma, thank you for sharing that story. And it sounds like that's something that Shakuma feels compelled to do. This is a conversation, you know, that he wants to have. What advice would you give for having a second conversation like that, Ash?
Sure. I mean, I think it's hard, and I think, you know, we should never stereotype people generationally, but certainly that would be more challenging. But it sounds like, you know, this woman is your chosen family, and I find that my experience has been that those people are pretty understanding. Like they love you and they care about you and they take you in as family because they want to. And I strongly doubt that you have had these years of this tremendous connection. That she would just write that off. And, you know, it might take her a second to get her mind around it, but she no doubt, you know, loves you, and that's, you know, people surprise you and maybe think of the inspiration of your mom and what that meant, and you're hopeful. And at the end of the day, I feel like if it's something you feel like you need to do, you kind of need to let go of what that person's reaction is going to be like. Like, if it is something that you want to tell someone before she dies, then it's off of your chest and it's kind of in her court to deal with it. And if she makes a decision to not be accepting, you know, that's, at least it's not on your chest anymore. It's not, you know, it's in her court.
All right. Well, thanks to Shakuma for that call. And, you know, we've got Thanksgiving coming up in a few days. We've got Hanukkah. We've got Christmas. And these are times when sometimes we're pressed into close contact with people that we do need to have these talks with. Maybe we don't see them all the time. Is there something about picking your moment? Should you wait until it's a less pressurized time, like the holidays? You know, they come with a lot of baggage already. Should we wait until, you know, maybe it's kind of between seasons?
Sure. I mean, it kind of depends on how you want to have that conversation. You know, maybe with the members of your immediate family, you want to wait and have that conversation more of a one-on-one basis, you know, not charged with all the other relatives around. But if those people already know and you need to come out to the rest of your family and they're not people that you see too often, then sometimes it makes sense to have the support of the people in your immediate family or your friends or whoever that know to say it and know that your support is standing right there next to you. I mean, I think that that's pretty critical. And again, that, you know, the holidays are a bit charged and an interesting time, but also, you know, often it's something that you could see. If these aren't people you see often, you're not going to have to see them for another year. So, you know, why live a life you don't need to? And, you know, you can get away from it. But again, you know, I feel like every family dynamic is different and you just kind of need to assess what you're ready for. And be more concerned with what you can handle than what they can handle.
And we've heard this TED Talk that we have it up on our Facebook page, by the way. You've been on our radio show. We've heard your message here. So what is next for you in spreading this message about people coming out of the closet?
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting. This is not something that I ever expected. And it's certainly not the reason that I wrote it, but I feel like there's an energy that's out there and a commonality of people that are, you know, taking this and hearing it and then applying it to their life and making the world a better place. And I feel so incredibly honored that I can have just a small part in people living a more free and open life. So, you know, I've had some inquiries from some places to go and do talks, and obviously now way beyond the LGBTQ stuff. So I'm, you know, getting through the holidays. I'm actually sitting outside of Bloomfield Hills High School in Detroit, Michigan, about to go see my little 2.5-year-old niece in a holiday play. So I'm taking the holidays and spending it with my family. And then when I get back to Colorado in around the first of the year, hopefully putting together a schedule and some, you know, tour dates for 2014.
All right, sounds good.
Really exciting.
Ash, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, so thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Ash Beckham, LGBTQ activist. She gave a TEDx talk in Boulder. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.